unfavorable circumstances, and universal opposition. What were the conditions that could have helped him? He belonged to a respectable family. This has been the fortune of all messengers of God. They have always been raised out of good families to make it easy for people to accept and follow them. The family of Hazrat Mirza Sahib, once important, was no longer so. It was now a poor family compared to its former prosperity and influence. Both landed property and political power had all but gone. Political power had been confiscated by the Sikhs, and landed properties had to be ceded to the British, who had succeeded the Sikhs as rulers of the Punjab. Influence and wealth, therefore, did not exist. It could not be said that he owed his large following to his political or social status. Nor did he hold the traditional rank of a doctor or scholar of religion. His education had been arranged through private tutors, so that it was little or nothing compared with what one could get in the old religious schools of the country. Neither in his district or province, nor outside, was he counted among the doctors of religion or the ulama of Islam. People could not turn to him out of regard for proved scholarship and learning. His family was not a family of peers, hereditary saints, or Sufis, nor was he a successor to a saint or Sufi. Such status is enjoyed by many religious leaders, so that the following of the elder saint or Sufi becomes, on his death, the following of the successor. Hazrat Mirza Sahib had no such status and enjoyed no such advantage. He held no office in the government of the day. He could not, therefore, attract anyone by reason of high position in government. A man of retiring nature, he preferred to live in solitude and seclusion. Even those who lived near him did not know him. He had some visitors, but these were mostly the orphans and the needy. With them, he shared his daily meals, often giving his own food to them and going hungry himself. Some of his visitors were interested in religion. Apart from the visitors I have mentioned, there were no others. He did not meet people, and the people did not need to meet him. As for circumstances, conditions, etc., which went against him, we must remember that Hazrat Mirza Sahib claimed to be the Messiah of Muslim traditions. The first large group bound to resist the claim was the group of ulama. Acceptance of the claim meant an end of the hold the ulama had enjoyed for hundreds of years over common Muslims. Small wonder the ulama were vehemently opposed to him and his claim. The success of his claim meant defeat and failure for them. If people in general found a messenger of God and found him to be genuine, who would look to the ulama for leadership and guidance? The Gaddi Nashins, hereditary or traditional saints, also became his enemies. As the influence of Hazrat Mirza Sahib increased, these saints were certain to lose their followers. They could no longer pose as sheikhs or guides. They had to accept someone as their sheikh or guide. Loss of followers meant loss of income. The success of the promised Messiah as leader and reformer was also to limit the life of license which the traditional saints enjoyed as their right. The rich too were against him. Hazrat Mirza Sahib invited them to observe the ordinances of Islam, and the rich were not accustomed to this. The daily obligations of Islam were to them a nuisance. At the same time, he taught charity, equality, and sympathy. Equality between all. Charity and sympathy for the poor and weak. This the rich did not like. They could see that with Hazrat Mirza Sahib's influence, the social deprivation of the poor would disappear. The hold which the rich had over the poor would also disappear. Followers of other religions could only be hostile. All religions other than Islam seemed threatened with defeat. A lamb has an instinctive fear of the tiger, so all non-Islamic religions felt threatened by him. They did all they could to destroy him and his influence. The ruling class were also against him. They had ever been afraid of messiahs and Mahdis. Old tradition had long associated with these names disturbances, lawlessness and rebellion. True, Hazrat Mirza Sahib professed and promised loyalty to any existing government, but this did not satisfy them. Expressions of loyalty they regarded as part of his strategy. They thought that as soon as Mirza Sahib attained power, he would abandon his professions of peace and loyalty and start a rebellion. The common people were also against him. Firstly, the common people are under the influence of their leaders, the ulama, the saints, the rich, the pandits, the padris. Secondly, they are ignorant and custom-ridden. They are against any new idea, any change of belief or outlook. The claim of the promised Messiah was a novelty for them. Therefore, partly under the influence of their leaders and partly out of ignorance, they too were against him. In different ways, from different motives, all classes were hostile to Hazrat Mirza Sahib. They did what they could to destroy him. The ulama prepared fatwas of kufr against him. They went to Mecca and Medina to obtain signatures of approval on them. True to the traditions, they invented strange causes for declaring Hazrat Mirza Sahib a kafir and roused the masses by concocting all sorts of things against him. The Sufi class also set their followers against him. They described his conception of religious merit and religious exercise as being contrary to all established conceptions. At the same time, their leaders made exaggerated claims about their own spiritual powers and the closeness of their contact with God, intimidating their followers and generally prejudicing them against Hazrat Mirza Sahib. They did not hesitate to invent stories about their own miraculous powers and cheat people by fraudulent activities. Some of them told their followers that if Mirza Sahib was genuine, the sin of denying him would be borne by them. The followers need have no anxiety. By methods of this kind, they kept alive a large part of the opposition. The rich fought against him with their wealth and influence. Leaders of other religions joined the Muslim opponents of Hazrat Mirza Sahib. The ruling class used their own special influence to set people against him. Those who wished to believe and join him incurred their displeasure. The common people indulged in boycotts, made trouble, and persuaded their leaders against him. In short, as many circumstances as there could be were against him. Opposed by all classes and by followers of all religions, Muslims and others, he found himself one against all. All joined together in opposing him. Now, how was his teaching related to current tendencies? If it only promoted current beliefs, current practices, it could be said that his success was not due to divine help or divine intervention, but was due to the tendencies of the time. These tendencies might not have been clearly formulated by anybody, yet it might be said that what Mirza Sahib taught and preached was in accordance with these tendencies, and therefore people flocked to him. They found him saying the same things, promoting the same ends as themselves. Tendencies current at any time can be of two kinds: tendencies of a majority, or tendencies of an intellectual minority, the result of advanced thinking and experimentation. Thoughts and beliefs acceptable to a majority are easily propagated. Thoughts and beliefs acceptable only to an intellectual minority are also easily propagated. The thoughts and beliefs of such a minority meet with some initial hostility, but if founded on reason, experience, and good observation, they are bound to spread sooner or later. Their spread waits for the spread of knowledge.